but Wall gets the rebound, throws it out to Thompson. Thompson with the three, and it's good. The chase is a record here in the college showdown. As Toby tries to go with the dunk, he goes front, scores ahead of by number two, Colin Marshall.
Waiting for the field goal. That is blocked. That is that gorgeous. You have got to be kidding me. He blocked it and caught it at the same time. And he's going to bring it to the house for another Franco's press touchdown.
It will do it. State Joe's press doing it on the state championship game for back-to-back years.
And State Joe's press is headed to the palestra. For the first time in school history, the St. Joe's Prep hockey team are state champions.
You're listening to WSJP, the voice of all things St. Joe's Prep.
Alumni, parents, and friends of the Prep, are you grateful for a Prep education? Do you recognize the value that the Prep has provided for more than 160 years? If so, then the Prep needs your support. A gift to the Prep Fund ensures that today's students will benefit from our special brand of education, an education that develops the minds, hearts, souls, and characters. So give now. Together, we can show today's students the loyalty and commitment of our Prep family. Go to www.sjprep.org/giving to make a donation. That's www.sjprep.org/giving.
Has messing with the cloud got you down? Call Tech Commandos in Marlton, New Jersey. They deliver 24/7 cloud hosting and information technology services that enhance communication and productivity. Their expert staff has a world-class certified state-of-the-art facility that helps to meet their clients' demands. Specializing in hosting ACT, QuickBooks, Sage 50, computers, and servers, Tech Commandos provides cloud services with a human touch. To schedule an appointment or learn more, visit them on their website, techcommandos.com. Go Prep!
Hi, this is Bill Abington, Class of 90, Director of Communications and proud moderator of WSJP, the voice of St. Joseph's Prep.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first show of the College Football Show. Today I'm joined by my co-host, John Pease. John, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Tyler. So happy to be on this show, and finally we get to express our love of college football.
And, you know, we really wanted to do this last year. Unfortunately, we were a little too late. We couldn't do it last year. So first, let's do a recap of the top 10 games, John. What happened in Bama at Ole Miss?
Well, Tyler, number one Alabama just blew Ole Miss out of the water, 62-7. Ole Miss scored on the very first play of the game. Their fans were looking into it, and that ended quickly.
It really did. And, you know, Ole Miss thought they had a little bit of light, but obviously Tua and Bama shut that light down. So now we have Georgia at Middle Tennessee. Georgia won 49-7. John, how do you think that game went for the Dogs?
Well, the Dogs' defense is just really playing well so far. They're not allowing points at all. They're getting interceptions. But DeAndre Swift, our former Prep star running back, didn't have a great game against Middle Tennessee. But as it gets more important out there, I think he'll start to shine.
He really will. And fortunately for Georgia, they have a 3-4 back set where, you know, if one running back isn't playing as well, you know, the other three can step up. And now we got Clemson versus Georgia Southern, where Clemson won 38-7. Unfortunately, Kelly Bryant didn't shine, but as you know, true freshman, Trevor Lawrence did. So, John, how do you think Lawrence looked in that game?
Well, Trevor Lawrence has really been that kind of go-to guy so far for Clemson. We saw it in the Texas A&M game where Kelly Bryant was struggling to get any real momentum going for him, and Trevor Lawrence came in and boom, instant offense spark. I know Coach Dabo Sweeney loves having Kelly Bryant in there because the leadership, but if they're thinking about a real playoff run, Trevor Lawrence might be the way to go.
And you know, you never know. They could pull Alabama just maybe midseason. They could put Trevor Lawrence as starter. So pretty much the game of the week, Ohio State at TCU. TCU had all the momentum going to that game without Coach Urban Meyer for the Buckeyes. But John, Ohio State came out of the win. What'd you see from them this week?
Well, after playing a couple cupcakes in the first 2 weeks of the season, we didn't get too much of a look at quarterback Dwayne Haskins, the replacement for 5-year senior JT Barrett, but he looked absolutely spectacular out there. He's bringing elements to the offense the Buckeyes haven't seen in years, and the way he can move on and throw on the run, it's really special. But the one thing about the Buckeyes that really kind of stands out more than last year is their defense overall has been allowing a few more points than they'd like to.
And, you know, as you said, Dwayne Haskins playing absolutely out of his mind, a top Heisman candidate. But then there's Oklahoma versus Iowa State. And, you know, Iowa State kind of gave them a run for their money. Oklahoma did win 37-27, and Kyler Murray looked absolutely insane. Honestly, I kind of rethought of his whole thought process on going to the MLB. But, John, what did you see from him?
Well, Kyler Murray is the best quarterback in the country, in my opinion. And he really shined. He really shone out there because the way he stepped up when that game got within one possession, he was able to come up, make the big throws, and get Oklahoma out to that 10-point lead where the defense came up with the clutch pick. So I thought they looked very impressive, and getting the revenge over Iowa State is extremely important.
And now, even though it wasn't the game of the week, you know, number six LSU played number nine Auburn at home. And, you know, really everyone going into this thought, well, LSU isn't that good when they're away. Obviously, last season they showed. But this season, they won 22-21 on that last-second field goal. So, John, what did you see from the Tigers of LSU this week?
Well, I think the Tigers are just out here turning heads right now. You know, they were underdogs against Miami, blew Miami out of the water, came into Auburn, a team that they won at home against last year, and beat them on a last-second field goal. I think quarterback Joe Burrow, he's not playing exceptionally, but he's playing well enough to win. And with that defense, as long as you're not throwing interceptions and you can make the routine throws, you're going to be in a good position.
Obviously, as you said, their defense is insane. SEC right now is the top three defenses in the whole nation, Alabama, Georgia, and then LSU. And then we go to number seven, Stanford, who played a little bit of cupcake in UC Davis. They won 30-10. But unfortunately for them, Bryce Love did not play. So, John, what are your, I guess, concerns for Stanford going into next week?
Well, we've got confirmation already. Bryce Love will be back against Oregon. But what's really interesting to me is it was wrote off as an undisclosed injury. The coach refused to let anybody know what his player was out with. So definitely trying to, you know, hide that against Oregon to make sure they don't try and exploit that, I guess, a little bit. But what I see from Stanford is their inability to throw the ball could hurt them down the line.
It really could. And, you know, going on the flip side to this Irish team. Now, the Notre Dame Irish did not look very good against Vanderbilt, who's really a low-tier SEC team. They won, fortunately, on 22-17. But as you said, they didn't look very good. Brandon Wimbush didn't play well at all. And, you know, without Quentin Nelson and McGlinchey, their O-line didn't look very good, John. What did you see from the Irish?
Well, the Notre Dame Irish, they're a fascinating team for sure. Last year, you know, they looked so promising with the USC win, then had the late season collapse, came out this year, beat Michigan, who we thought was a pretty impressive win in the first week of the season. But since then, they're struggling against Ball State, now Vanderbilt. I'm really concerned with the future of this team with Brandon Wimbush at quarterback because he's so one dynamic at quarterback. He can only run the ball, and if he continues to throw it like this, Notre Dame isn't going to be having a very special season.
And they don't look like it. They play number seven, Stanford, next week. That's probably, you know, on with Ohio State versus Penn State. It's because they're going to be the two games of the week. And moving on to Penn State, they played Kent State, won 63-10 in a blowout. And, you know, after that week one scare, that team's really clicking. Trace McSorley had five total touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns, three passing touchdowns. And, you know, the running backs were just beautiful. Miles Sanders, Mark Allen, and Ricky Slade. So, John, obviously Penn State's your team. What'd you see from your guys?
Well, obviously, you know, when we're playing a team like Kent State, they're going to put up a lot of points. They should, 63-10, big win. But what's really, I think, has grown the most for this Nittany Lions team is their defense. You know, week one, 38 points to Appalachian State, not something they want to do. So if they can step up and just continue, their defense can continue to find its identity, that'll give them a big advantage, and that's going to be key in the Ohio State game.
And it really will be. And hopefully, you know, John, they're going to play in Happy Valley. So hopefully they can get that. I guess you could call it an upset, but I think they are. Are they favored in the FPI? I know it's really close, 50.5 to 49.5. But, John.
Yeah, Penn State is currently favored, as you said, the numbers. So definitely expect it to be an extremely close game.
And, you know, as you said before this, even though Stanford and Notre Dame are playing, that should be the game of the week. But moving on to the upsets of the week, there were two top 25 upsets. Number six, Wisconsin, dropped to BYU 24-21, and they missed a game-tying field goal in the close seconds, and they really didn't look good on offense at all. And unfortunately for them, they get another loss. That's going to be the end of the college football playoff because, as we know, so far you need less than two losses to get into the college football playoff. And, John, how did Nebraska versus Troy pan out?
Troy was able to win 24-19, which is extremely interesting because, you know, Nebraska this offseason went out and took the self-claimed national champion Scott Frost away from UCF, brought him in extremely excited for what the offense was going to be able to do, what he'd bring to the table, and now They're currently 0-2. I get it. Their starting quarterback was hurt and out for that game, but they're going to have to pick it up and play a lot better if Coach Frost wants to keep that job security.
And as you said, you know, Troy with the upset. Troy had last year's upset against LSU, which was a big win, and now they pick up another one this year against Nebraska. And now we're going to go to the winners and the losers of the week. So, John, who's your winner of the week this week?
I've got the LSU Tigers as my winner of the week. They were ranked number 25 coming into the year, and they've already beaten two top 10 teams going into that week, and neither of them have even been home games. They beat Miami at a mutual site, blew them out, and then played Auburn really tough in Alabama, and were able to come out with the win there too. So I think overall what we're seeing from the team is the defense is absolutely dominant. They're stepping up, two interceptions versus Jarrett Stidham last week. And the offense overall, they're just playing good enough to win. So with those two games left coming up against Alabama and Georgia in the regular season, they're going to have to win one of those two to stay in the playoff talk.
And as you said, you know, one of the ones they're going to try to want to win is against Bama, because if they get that slide against Bama, don't lose at all. Say they lose to Georgia. If they get a redemption game against Georgia in the SEC championship, beat them, that's pretty much a lock for them in the playoff. And my winner of the week is going to be the Ohio State Buckeyes. They were ranked number 4 entering last week without head coach Urban Meyer for one last game. They had dominating wins over Oregon State and Rutgers. And then this statement win over TCU. They only did win by 12, but fortunately for them, they're going to get their head coach Urban Meyer back just right in time to play in Happy Valley. And if they continue their pace, they are going to be serious contenders in the Big Ten. So now we're going to go to our losers of the week. And, John, I know that you really haven't been a fan of Florida State, so how have they been doing so far?
Right now, Florida State looks like the absolute worst program in the country. I'd be sugarcoating it if I said anything else. Out of 128 teams, they're 128. This program, it's falling apart. Last year, Jimbo Fisher, obviously, just the injury of the quarterback week one. That was what, you know, they had to fall back and blame the season on. But the offseason, he leaves. They bring in Willie Taggart from Oregon, the guy. It would cost them $21 million to fire him. So, obviously, paying him an awful lot of money. And they lose 30-7 against Syracuse after only beating Samford by a pick six at the end of the game. I think Florida State looks absolutely atrocious, and this offense is going to have to figure something out, because if they keep playing at this pace, it is going to be a long season for the Noles fans.
It really is, and as you said, they're going to have to pay Willie Taggart $21 million if they want to buy him out, really something you're not trying to do. So they may be stuck with him for a little while. And my loser of the week is Wisconsin. You know, although they only did lose to BYU by 3 on a game, they missed a game-tying field goal. They dropped 12 spots to number 18, and they need to win out pretty much to make the college football playoff. And they have games at Penn State, at Michigan, and at Iowa. And then they're at the Big Ten East or at a mutual site at the Big Ten East champion spot. So they really need a miracle for the playoff. And right now, the Big Ten isn't looking that good. I mean, obviously, Ohio State and Penn State really carrying the workload. Michigan already has a loss. Michigan State already has a loss. And Wisconsin already has a loss. And we're only 4 weeks into the season. So now, John, I'm going to bring in you for the player of the week. Who do you got?
I've got Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State. Right now, he is playing with so much fire. It's electrifying the offense. You know, JT Barrett, a guy who will have his moments for sure in his career and definitely had a good leadership presence on the team, but lacked that kind of talent that could really put the team on his back when they needed him the most. And Dwayne Haskins against TCU absolutely dominated that defense. He went 24 of 38, 344 yards and 2 touchdowns. I know the Big 12 isn't exactly known for their defensive teams, but TCU definitely one of the better ones, I would say, in the conference. So to come out and drop 344 yards against them, I would say that's an extremely impressive outing.
It really was. And, you know, my player, going back to the Dwayne Haskins point, you know, everyone thought that was the game to lose, the TCU game, without Coach Urban Meyer. TCU's on a tear. They're 2-0, ready to go. It's at a mutual site, and Dwayne Haskins really backed up why he should be a Heisman candidate. As you said, 344 yards for 2 touchdowns. And speaking of a lot of yards, I didn't realize this until I really looked at the game film, but Alan Bowman from Texas Tech had a whopping 605 yards, a Big 12 record, and a win against Houston. He had threw 59 passes, completed 43 of them for 605 yards and 5 touchdowns. And especially against Ed Oliver, the number 5 head Heisman candidate, who you obviously over the Houston defense, they won 63-49. And we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, John and I are going to explain our top 3 Heisman candidates and who we think is going to win. Stay with us.
Alumni, parents, and friends of the Prep, are you grateful for a prep education? Do you recognize the value that the Prep has provided for more than 160 years? If so, then the Prep needs your support. A gift to the Prep Fund ensures that today's students will benefit from our special brand of education, an education that develops the minds, hearts, souls, and characters. So give now. Together, we can show today's students the loyalty and commitment of our
Lauzi Foreign Car Repair, located on Long Lane in East Lansdowne, PA, is the place for your import. Lauzi Foreign Car Repair is the stop for oil changes, AC and heating repair, inspections, brakes, transmissions, tires, and more. And although they specialize in foreign cars, domestic cars are also welcomed. Find out why his customers say mechanic John Lauzi is the best of the best, someone who gets the job done right the first time around. Call 610-259-2500 to book an appointment or to hear more about the services of Lauzi Foreign Car Repair. Go Prep!
Hi, this is Bill Abington, Class of 90, Director of Communications and proud moderator of WSJP, the voice of St. Joseph's Prep.
Welcome back to the college football, I guess, game day show. We really haven't made a name for this, but we're going to come up with one next week, John, right? Anyway, so our top three Heisman candidates are going to be – we're going to say our top three Heisman candidates. I'm going to start with John. So, John, who do you look so far to be the best player in college football?
Well, as of now, after only three games, I have Kyler Murray as my number one Heisman candidate. He is just playing with a lot of poise out there on the field, and if he keeps doing this, Oklahoma will have their second Heisman in a row, which would be extremely cool for the school. Right now, after only three games, he's got 863 yards with an 8-touchdown-to-1-pick ratio. So out there playing really smart while he's definitely showing he can still air the ball down the field. And also, to throw out there, he was a first-round pick in the MLB draft by the Oakland Athletics, so kind of more than capable in multiple sports.
And also, you know, you said he's a first-round pick. If he wins the Heisman, I don't know if he can, but he may reconsider that MLB pick for going in the first round. You know, even though he did go in the first round, obviously a top 10 pick, number 8. But if he doesn't go to the MLB, he has a bright future in the NFL. And my first Heisman candidate is going to be Will Greer. And even though he does look like the best QB so far for prospects in the NFL, he has 761 yards, 9 touchdown to 1 interception ratio. And he has a 76% completion rate, which looks unstoppable. And honestly, if I'm West Virginia, I want him to keep playing very efficiently. And the reason I don't have Kyler Murray at number one, obviously he has the best stats. You know, maybe Dwayne Haskins has better ones, but I think Will Greer has the potential to be ridiculous. And I don't think, since he's a pocket passer, I don't think he's going to throw many interceptions. And that's why he's my number one. So, John, who do you got at number two?
At number two, Tyler, I'm bringing in Dwayne Haskins, the Ohio State quarterback, who, after that departure of, you know, JT Barrett, a lot of people were really questionable of how the Ohio State offense was going to go on from there. Barrett had been the starter for three seasons, so a guy with a lot of leadership, but Dwayne Haskins had an answer, and that's 890 yards with 11 touchdowns and 1 pick through three games. And, yes, he has a lot better of a stat line so far than Kyler Murray. The only reason I have Dwayne Haskins at number two is Kyler Murray has not been playing the entire games because Oklahoma's just been blowing teams out, and they're trying to prevent Lincoln Riley is trying to prevent an injury. But right now, Dwayne Haskins looks absolutely dominant. And if in this road trip he's taken to Penn State in 2 weeks, if he looks good there too and he's able to dominate that defense, I'll definitely expect to be moving him up to number one.
Definitely going to have a hard task next week in Happy Valley. It's going to be really a challenge because, you know, obviously against Appalachian State, Penn State didn't play very well. Fortunately for the Nittany Lions, John's smiling at me. They are 3-0 right now. They did get an impressive win over Appalachian State, overcoming all adversary. But second right now for me is Tua. I'm not going to pronounce it. I guess Tagovailoa. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not going to try, so I'm just going to say Tua. Now, he does have limited playing time. He's 36 of 50 for passing, which is absolutely insane. He already has 646 yards, 12.9 yards per attempt, 8-0 touchdown-to-interception ratio. And he has a 233 QB rating. So in 14 carries, he has 93 yards, and his total QBR is 98.3.
Yeah, definitely. The thing that impresses me most about Tua is the way he's kind of handling the whole situation. You know, just in his interview, he said Nick Saban last year at the national championship at halftime just came up to him and simply said, "You're starting the second half." You know, hadn't played much in the rest of the year, only went in kind of blowout games, came in. We know he dominated that Georgia defense in the second half. But to come out this second half of the season where Nick Saban refused to name a starter, he said that he wasn't going to name one in practice, they didn't know. And, you know, he's dealing with Jalen Hurts, a veteran who wants to obviously play too. And to get named the starter and come out and play the way he's playing, I think it's extremely impressive that a young guy like him is handling it that well.
And as you said, came right out of the gate in the second half of the national championship. Unfortunately for me, he did blow up my dog's defense. And, you know, first play of that game, he threw an – or not first play, I guess first drive of that game, threw an interception. All hopes were looking high for Dogs fans. But right after that was just absolutely explosive and gave the national championship to Bama. So now this isn't on the script. And we're supposed to give our number three, you know, Heisman candidate. But we're just going to skip that and bring in a special guest, Tom Abington, since he really wanted to do this. So, Tom, who is your number one Heisman candidate for this year?
I would have to go with Jafar Armstrong of Notre Dame University. He's just been playing really well. I know Notre Dame, well, these guys were just hating on my Irish over here. But they're playing really well. They're just – their defense is collapsing a little bit, but this happens every year with Notre Dame, and then they find a way to make it to the bowl game. I think Notre Dame's going to go undefeated. And number two, I think I'm going to go with Kyler Murray, of course. If you just watch college football, you can just see that he's very talented, probably best quarterback as of now. And number three, I would go with Jonathan Taylor of Wisconsin. These are three really good guys, but I would watch out for Jafar Armstrong. He's got some good odds. He's brought his odds up from the beginning of the year.
And going back to that Jafar Armstrong point, if our viewers don't know who he is, because you probably shouldn't know who he is unless you're a Notre Dame fan, he only has 5 catches for 72 yards with 0 touchdowns this season. And they haven't played very great competition. They played Michigan the first week, and we had 2 receptions for 11 yards. Did play Ball State, who was awful, and had 3 receptions for 61 yards, and then had 0 catches for 0 yards against Vanderbilt. So for Jafar Armstrong, not looking too good for the Heisman spot. But, you know, Tom has faith in him, and hopefully he can pull through for Tom and the Notre Dame crowd.
Yeah, definitely. I would say a little bias coming out of that pick there from Tom, but definitely a hot take, I would say. And moving on. For my number three Heisman candidate, I would have Will Greer in that slot. And as you said earlier, probably the best prospect in terms of quarterbacks in college football right now. And overall for him, what I think is going to help him if he's going to win it is the element of experience that he has playing these defenses in the Big 12. He's already gotten many years under his belt. So I think that kind of leadership and experience he has can help him down the line.
And going back to Jafar Armstrong, Tom just pointed out that unfortunately, on ESPN.com, they have him as a wide receiver. But he's a running back, apparently. He has 40 attempts for 147 yards, 3.8 yards per carry. Longest is 42 yards, and he has 3 touchdowns. So pretty average big-time running back. As Tom's going to say, he's a dual-threat option on the receiving and rushing end. So hopefully for Tom, he can brighten up and bring Notre Dame to their first college football playoff appearance. So now we're going to go to our top 10 rankings. And me and John, and as Tom says 12 national championships, but unfortunately in the new era, they still do not have an appearance. Anyway, back to the real show. Our top 10 rankings. John and I are going to give our own top 10 rankings as we did just make them. Unfortunately, both of us do disagree with the AP poll, but John, who is your number one team? And as unexpectedly, it's Alabama. So why is it Alabama?
You can't even argue at this point with the Tide being number one. It's just like you move them back and they're going to prove you wrong. You move them to number 6, they'll go beat LSU, they'll beat anybody they play. So you just, until they lose, you kind of have to leave them there. But the thing I'm seeing with this team right now is with Tua at quarterback, they look really special on offense. We already know they can play on defense. And right now, if their offense can keep going, this is going to be a tough team to beat.
They really are. And, you know, they do have a really hard game at LSU, who is your number 2 spot. But first, my number one spot, obviously, John, as you said, is Alabama. You know, Tua is just a sophomore stud. Looks absolutely amazing. And really, as you said, when you push them back, they're going to prove you wrong. But they lost to Auburn away last year. They were pushed back to number 6 in the nation, get into the college football playoff, beat Clemson, and then beat Georgia in the national championship. So every time you push them back, they are going to prove you wrong. But at number 2, John, you have LSU, a key matchup. Alabama does play at LSU on November 3rd. So, John, what do you think for Alabama at LSU, and why do you have LSU at number 2?
Well, right now, you know, Alabama at LSU, it's so hard to predict because it's been 7 years since LSU has beaten the Crimson Tide, but that's only going to make these players more hungry for a win. And playing at home definitely could spice up the crowd. I'm sure we'll be having them as our game of the week in the future, so we'll preview it more then. But I wouldn't be surprised if LSU win. I'll put that out there. And right now, I have them as the number 2 team in the nation because the teams they've played. They've had the best competition so far out of anybody in the country, you know, playing Miami, playing at Auburn. So two really hard games that their defense has looked absolutely amazing in, and Joe Burrow is solving the need for a quarterback the school's had for like 20 years.
And as you said, they do play an unlimited amount of great competition. They played at Auburn, as you said, mutual site against Miami. And now they're going to play at home, fortunately, with Bama and with Georgia. So, you know, as we were talking about before the show, if they want to make the college football playoff and they want to make a run, the best chance for them is beating Alabama, losing to Georgia in the regular season, learning from that experience, and then beating Georgia in the SEC championship, which will pretty much give them a lock. But my number two team, who they're going to have to beat in that SEC championship, is the Georgia Bulldogs, or are the Georgia Bulldogs. Justin Fields and Jake Fromm are absolutely special, 80.2% completion rate, which does lead the FBS. And, you know, quarterback DeAndre Baker already has two interceptions, and he may be the best defensive player in college football. In the secondary, he looks absolutely unreal. And, John, number three, you do the Bulldogs as well, so, you know, maybe explain that a little bit.
Well, Georgia is just, when you're 3-0 and you haven't allowed more than 7 points, it's pretty hard to argue with being in this situation. But right now, you know, they're playing the weaker competition, and they're certainly handling them.
They really are. And unfortunately for, I guess, you, for the competition based this week, not a very big, I guess, competition, I should say. But at number three, I have Oklahoma, just primarily because Kyler Murray looks unreal. And honestly, right now, he looks better than Baker Mayfield has at the start of the season. Because, you know, Baker Mayfield obviously was great down the stretch, but early in the year, Baker Mayfield wasn't that number one Heisman candidate. It was always Saquon. Then Penn State unfortunately fell off at the end of the year. But Kyler Murray right now, if he continues this pace, will look unreal and honestly looks like he's going to get the Heisman. And also wide receiver CeeDee Lamb already has 225 yards on 12 receptions, averaging 18.5 yards per catch. So that looks absolutely unreal. And John, who's your number four team to round out the college football playoff?
Well, right now, I think you have to put Ohio State in a situation at least right near the top four, and I have them there for the reason that they just played TCU. You know, a lot of question marks without Urban Meyer, how they were going to be able to handle this game, and they handled business, winning by 12 points, putting up 40 on a good TCU defense. Obviously, they allowed four touchdowns themselves, but their defense played well enough, and Dwayne Haskins is taking this offense to levels they've never reached.
Ohio State definitely looking like a big competitor as it comes to the college football playoff. If they do beat Penn State, pretty much I'm going to say without any injuries, they should be a lock for the college football playoff. But, you know, as we know in college football, anything can happen. Everybody thought Notre Dame was going to make it last year. It fell right off. But, you know, I really think that with Ohio State and, as you said, with Coach Urban Meyer back, they look like a top-tier team. And honestly, if not top-tier, top-two team right now in the nation. But right now, for number four, I have LSU, and, you know, John already explained them greatly. They have played the best competition so far, and they have to play the best competition, you know, I guess next with Alabama and Georgia, number one and two in the nation. So if they continue on with this huge stride, and they do play them both at home, so if they beat, you know, one of those teams, as John said, they're going to be up there. And, John, who is your number five team right now?
Well, this is where I have the Clemson Tigers. You know, they had that huge win early on in the season in College Station at Texas A&M. And right now for me, that is the only reason I have them in the top five. I think the offense looks lackluster right now. I think Kelly Bryant looks horrible. And without Trevor Lawrence, this Clemson team most certainly would not be 3-0. So I think if Coach Sweeney is going to make the best choice for the team going forward, he's going to have to let Kelly Bryant know that Trevor Lawrence is taking over. But if he doesn't make that choice, I can't see Clemson competing with Alabama or any of those teams that would be in the playoffs.
Definitely going to be a huge decision for Dabo Sweeney to make if he decides, you know, middle of the year to change the quarterback. And John, I'm going to round out my top 10 right now. I obviously had Alabama, then Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, Ohio State, and then that number six, I had Stanford, 7 Clemson, 8 Penn State, number 9 the Irish of Notre Dame, number 10 the Tigers of Auburn. So, John, I'm just going to let you continue your top 10 because, as we know, Tom Avington wants to get on the show again, and I'm going to give him that little chance. But, John, take your time, really explain your top 10 thoroughly and why your next team is going to be Oklahoma. Kyler Murray is really leading that team. So, John, why do you have them at number 7?
Well, I've got the Sooners at number 7 right now simply because the offense is there and the defense looks a little bit better than last year, I would say. You know, definitely still a need. You know, you're in the Big 12. Defense just is not the forte over in that conference. But right now, if They're going to play better on defense than they did last year. Their offense definitely has the star power to move on. Then at number 8, I've got the Penn State Nittany Lions. The only reason I move them from number 10 is because the defense is finally starting to step up and play what they need to do to give that offense a chance. At number 9, I've got the Auburn Tigers, simply because they lost to an extremely talented LSU team. I know it was at home, which makes the blow a little worse, but right now Jarrett Stidham is still playing well, and if he doesn't throw that interception late in the game, I don't know that Auburn would have lost. And rounding out my top 10 is Notre Dame, and right now for them, all I can say is if their quarterback play does not pick up, they're going to lose a lot of games.
Very bold prediction from John Pease. Tom Abington, a little, I guess, befuddled on that statement. But as you know, I told him I was going to bring him back on. And if he has a reasonable top 10, we might bring him back for next week's guest host. But, Tom, who is in – we're just going to give you your top 4, so your college football playoff. So don't put, you know, as John said, he had Bama, LSU, Georgia. Don't do that. Just predict your college football playoff. So you're going to need one team from the SEC. Obviously, you're going to have Notre Dame because that's who you are. And then just, you know, round off the other two.
I'm not really understanding the question. I'm just going to go in number form. I got number 4, the LSU Tigers, which is playing phenomenal football as of now. And then number 3, you got Georgia. That'll make Tyler pretty happy. And number 2, you got Alabama. I'm going to have 2 SEC teams. That happened last year. LSU, they're in the SEC. I forgot about that. Doesn't matter. Yeah, and then number 1, of course, you got to go with Notre Dame there. If Brandon Wimbush plays like he did against Michigan, they're the best team in the country. His passing game against Ball State and Vanderbilt weren't so great, but he's got a Chase Claypool to throw to, and then he's got my guy Jafar Armstrong, and then you got Julian Love on the other side. I think the best defender in college football. So, go Irish.
That is extremely interesting there, Tom, because, you know, I don't see how it's even a possibility to have 3 SEC teams in the playoffs, especially when LSU has to play Georgia and Alabama. So, I don't see a scenario where all 3 of those teams make it out with only 1 loss. And with Notre Dame at number 1, I don't see it, because even if they win out, they still don't have the schedule that, say, LSU, Georgia, or Alabama has. So they won't exactly have that win, I would say, to push them to the number 1 spot in the country.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of jumping in Notre Dame's future. They're just going to be surprising everyone. They're going to be the only undefeated team in college football this year. So, well, how can you not put them at number 1? They're not like UCF. They're actually a good team. They're playing some good opponents this year. Maybe the last 2 games were against Ball State and Vanderbilt, which you think, oh, my gosh, worst teams ever. But they do play Michigan. They play Virginia Tech. They play Stanford. They have a decent schedule. I know it's not the Penn State schedule, apparently the hardest schedule in college football. But going back to the LSU comment, or the SEC comment, I just think those are the best 4 teams, the number 2 through 4. Notre Dame's the best team in the country, obviously, and I understand it. But just those teams are really talented, and they're in the best conference for a reason. I think they're all gonna lose 1, and I think Georgia's gonna come up top of the SEC crown.
Okay, well, that's a very interesting take that Notre Dame is the number 1 team in the country, because. Very, very fascinating, because definitely quarterback play in the past has been a key factor to determining who wins the national championship. We saw Bama last year with Tua coming in the second half, play absolutely electrifying. Then Deshaun Watson was at Clemson the year before, who was a great quarterback. So a history of having a good quarterback is definitely part of winning the national championship. So I definitely wouldn't call Notre Dame a top 4 team as of now. They have the potential, I would say. I could give you that. They have the potential to improve, but whatever way you slice it and dice it, they're not going to be better than Alabama either way. And I wouldn't say they're better than Georgia or LSU. So a team that could improve, I will give them that with the defense that they have. But right now I think that's a tough situation for the Irish. But anyway, definitely for the top four, I would definitely – I know you said that you to see Georgia winning it all with LSU and Bama also both having one loss. So an interesting take there as the Georgia Bulldogs then would have to lose to LSU in the regular season. And that would mean LSU beats Alabama to make LSU go to the playoff where they beat an undefeated Georgia team. So definitely a lot would have to happen there with LSU having to beat Alabama, a very hard scenario to predict.
And we just got back here. Unfortunately, Tom ended the call for me. So, it's okay. It's okay. But anyway, back to our, I guess, regular script. We're going to go with we're going to give the most to what team should improve the most. So, John, who do you got? Who do you think that has to prove the most coming into this week?
I've got to give it to Texas A&M, Tyler. They played Clemson earlier in the season so close. It was a phenomenal game. And right now, Jimbo Fisher looks like a great coach. I would say the reason they lost to Clemson was the poor officiating in which they turned a fumble, which clearly went out of bounds into a touchback and gave Clemson the ball. So they looked really good in that game against a top four team in the country. And if they can go into Tuscaloosa, and I'm not asking for a win, but if they can compete with Alabama and keep this game within one possession, I'd say that future is looking really bright in College Station.
And, you know, unfortunately for them, they did pick up a loss. There are going to be 2-1. So they go into Alabama. They're not going to look like a, I guess, college football contender. I don't really think anybody expected them to be. But however, as you said, Jimbo Fisher looking very impressive so far. Pretty much, as you said, should have had a top four. It would be top three now, but top three win against Clemson. And, you know, obviously, as you said, they have the number two recruiting class in the nation in his first year there. So really, really impressed by Jimbo Fisher and his coaching at Texas A&M. And for my team would be the Arizona State Sun Devils. Shout out Ricky Weeps, our co-president, who's going to be attending their class of 2023, excuse me. But they lost San Diego State, and, you know, they're going to need to bounce back if they want to be in conversation for that Pac-12 title. And, you know, Eno Benjamin, their running back, he really needs to bounce back. He only had 13 carries for only 21 yards, which is around 1.4 yards per carry. So if he needs to do more if these Sun Devils really want to come back and, you know, gain, I guess, the respect of the whole nation. And now, John, I'm going to turn it over to you for the upset of the week. John, who do you got?
Well, I have Iowa over number 18, Wisconsin, right now. Obviously, it would have been a much bigger upset had Wisconsin not just lost to BYU, and we're still in the top six. But the bottom line is Wisconsin is still going into the hardest stadium to play in the college football. And I don't say that necessarily because of size, because, you know, Kinnick Stadium holds below 80,000. But the way that field is designed, those fans, the sidelines only about 5, I would say, feet deep before those stands start. So opposing quarterbacks have said that they've been able to hear the exact words fans have been screaming at them all the way from the middle of the field. And we saw the test they gave Trace McSorley and Penn State last year in the walk-off touchdown. Then later in the year, we saw them blow out Ohio State in that stadium. So an extremely challenging place for opposing teams to play. And at prime time, the place is going to be absolutely booming, and Hawkeyes fans are going to demand a win out of their team.
And that'll definitely be a huge mashup for Wisconsin, obviously coming off the loss to BYU. Unfortunately for them, they did miss that game-tying field goal, would have sent them to overtime. They did have all the momentum, so they probably would have won that game, to be realistic. But, you know, as you said, Iowa is definitely a tough place to play in. Trace McSorley, without that walk-off touchdown, Penn State loses that game. And they just blew out Ohio State last year, absolutely demolished them. But for my upset pick of the week, I'm going to follow on what I said for the team to prove most. I'm going to think they're going to prove it. Take Arizona State over Washington. They are in Arizona, and Washington is really struggling to score touchdowns so far. And Herm Edwards is really a great coach in defensive battles. And Arizona State already upset number 15 Michigan State at home this year. So the crowd is going to be crazy. And you best believe that all the Sun Devil fans are going to be on their feet. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, me and John are going to give our score predictions for all the top 25 games, and we are going to break down our game of the week, which is Oregon versus Stanford.
Layuzzi Foreign Car Repair, located.
Alumni, parents, and friends of the Prep, are you grateful for a Prep education? Do you recognize the value that the Prep has provided for more than 160 years? If so, then the Prep needs your support. A gift to the Prep Fund ensures that today's students will benefit from our special brand of education, an education that develops the minds, hearts, souls, and characters. So give now. Together, we can show today's students the loyalty and commitment of our Prep family. Go to www.sjprep.org/giving to make a donation. That's www.sjprep.org/giving.
Hi, I'm history teacher Bill Connors, and you're listening to WSJP.
Welcome back to the College Football Pregame Show. And now me and John are going to be moving on to the upcoming week, and we're going to give our predictions for this week's game. So, John, first game is number 16, UCF versus FAU. John, who do you got winning that one?
Well, obviously Lane Kiffin taking over his second year at FAU for head coach, but I just see UCF winning this one 38-24 because that offense they have is pretty overwhelming.
Definitely can correlate with that. I got UCF 42-17. Second game is going to be number 23, newly ranked Boston College at Purdue. And Boston College, as we know, just came into the rankings. They are going to have to prove something at Purdue. So, John, who do you got this one?
Well, obviously Purdue isn't, you know, the cream of the crop in the Big Ten, but I think at home they're still a pretty good team to play. Last year they competed with Michigan at home and they took them down to the wire on a last couple minutes touchdown by Michigan. So right now I've got Purdue over Boston College 27-21.
So you got a first upset pick. So I mean technically upset pick of the week. Boston College does have wins over UMass, Holy Cross, and Wake Forest. That Wake Forest one really pushing them over the edge to get into the top 25. And I also have Purdue in a stunner, winning 30-10, really blowing out the Boston College. Because honestly, I don't think, you know, they did get a win over Wake Forest, and Wake Forest is a very, you know, reliable team to put, you know, in the contention for top 25. But Holy Cross and UMass really just don't do it for me. And now we're going to move to, I guess, the first big name game of the week, which is going to be number 2, Georgia at Missouri. And John, who do you have in this one?
Well, I've got the Dogs winning 49-21. I know it's pretty generous for me to give Missouri 21 points in this scenario, but with Drew Locke at QB, obviously, he's a pretty good player, and I think he'll be able to score, but this Georgia offense is going to flat-out obliterate Missouri.
And, you know, as we know, Drew Locke really came in last year putting up 28 points against the Dogs. Really not unexpected. It was 28-28 going in to about halfway through the second quarter, but then Georgia just took off from there, got the win 54-28. And I had the Dogs winning 54-24. I think Missouri's going to get off to that hot start, but right as Georgia realizes what they're doing, they're going to shut that down. And I think Justin Fields is going to get a little bit of time in this game, have the Dogs winning 54-24. And now our first ranked matchup, we got number 22, Texas A&M, who John said they need to prove something this game, at number 1, Alabama. So John, who do you have winning this?
Making this pick really tore me apart, Tyler, because part of me really believes in Texas A&M, the way they battled against Clemson coach Jimbo Fisher, who I just view as a genius, going to Alabama, taking on Nick Saban in the Tide. I know they're going to bring their A game, and I think you're going to play them really tough, but the number one saying in college football is, you don't bet against Bama, and I'm not going to do it. I've got the Alabama Crimson Tide going for a 23-21 win.
So you've got a close game, a very close game, under a field goal in that game. Texas A&M is going to slightly miss out on that number one Alabama upset. I have Bama winning convincingly 28-14 because, you know, even though Texas A&M is a really great team, I just see the defense of Alabama being too good. And, you know, Tua, I just think, is going to light up the house. Is at home pretty much, I guess, formal debut against number 22 Texas A&M. So now we're going to move on to number three, Clemson at Georgia Tech. John, who do you got for this one?
Clemson's going to win easily. 34-3 is what I have.
Yeah, no really explanation needed. I have Clemson winning 40-0, honestly. I don't think Georgia Tech puts up a point against that Tiger defense. And now, again, pretty much a bum matchup. Number 13, Virginia Tech, again, at Old Dominion. John, who do you got in this one?
Well, once again, I feel like there's no need for explanation. Virginia Tech dominated Florida State. I mean, I know they're a bad team, but Old Dominion's not much better. So I've got 42-13 Hokies.
And I also have the Hokies 51-13, you know, averaging or putting up 9 more points than you. But now we have our real matchup. We have number 17 TCU at Texas. Texas was ranked in the beginning of the year number 23. They did get knocked out by the University of Maryland. But John, who do you have winning this, I guess, not really thriller, but I guess close matchup?
Well, look, Tyler, Tom Herman, in my mind, is the top three coach in college football. I've got one Saban, two, three Herman. Tom Herman at University of Houston never lost to a top 10 ranked team in the country. I believe it was either 6-0 or 8-0 was his record. With Houston, he beat teams like Oklahoma, and he beat all kinds of really good teams like that. So I think he's a great coach. Last year, obviously, Texas lost so many close games. You had the overtime interception against Oklahoma State, and then you had the fumble in overtime by their quarterback against USC. So some really good teams they played last year. Had the ball turned their way a couple more times, they would have won those games. And I think this time they come out looking for their first upset of 2018, and I've got them up 35-31.
And I kind of took a different approach to this. I think, you know, TCU is going to come off hungry. They did just lose at a mutual site by 12 points, you know, obviously, as we know, to the Ohio State Buckeyes. But I think Shane Robinson, he didn't play very well. He had 25 for 40 last week, 308 yards, but he only had one touchdown, two interceptions. And, you know, I really think he's going to bounce back from that. And I think he's going to give the Horned Frogs their first, I guess, big win of the season. I had TCU winning 21-17. And John, now a Big 12 matchup, Oklahoma State at Texas Tech. John, who do you got in that one?
Well, this is the battle of who plays worse defense. These are just two schools that simply cannot defend. We saw Texas Tech quarterback threw 602 yards last week. You highlighted that earlier. So I would expect both teams to put up a lot of points. And in this one, I've just got Oklahoma State overcoming them 63-42.
And I really, as you said, you know, the Big 12 isn't, not at all. They aren't known for their defense. They're known for their offense. And I have Oklahoma State winning 54-42. Now we have another, you know, pretty good matchup, I guess. Number 5, Oklahoma versus Army. John, what do you got in this matchup?
Well, obviously with Kyler Murray as quarterback for Oklahoma, you should expect them to win this game. But I'm going to put some respect on Army's name, and I'm going to put this at a 49-20 final score.
I think Army might show up a little bit. I have them 35-21 final, so Oklahoma winning, you know, pretty comfortably by 2 possessions. But, you know, moving on to Auburn. Auburn just lost to LSU, and they're going to be playing Arkansas. Arkansas is a pretty middle-tier team. So, John, who do you got in this one?
Well, coming off a loss to North Texas, I'd say Arkansas looks pretty convincingly like the worst team in the SEC West this year. So I've got Auburn convincingly winning 42-7.
And I have Arkansas actually proving themselves. I do have Auburn winning 35-21, but don't be shocked if Arkansas puts up, you know, a little bit of a fight. But in the end, I think the Tigers are going to reclaim this matchup. And we're going to pretty much breeze through these next few ones. Penn State at Illinois. I have Penn State winning 55-21. John, what do you got?
I've got a 52-13 blowout. It shouldn't be too much to handle for the Nittany Lions.
And then we have Michigan versus Nebraska. John, I got 24-21. Michigan winning in a close one because, you know, right now they haven't been looking too good. John, what do you got?
I've got Michigan up 31-14. Not necessarily because Michigan's that good. I just think it's because right now Nebraska looks that bad.
And another Big 12 matchup, battle of the offenses, West Virginia versus Kansas State. I have West Virginia winning 51-10. John,
I've got West Virginia up 45-17, so definitely a not exactly a good game. But I think Kansas State puts up a little bit of fight, but West Virginia's going to pull away in the second half.
Then we have the battle for the orange, FIU versus Miami, number 21. John, I just have Miami winning 34-13, really not much competition.
Well, I've got Miami up 41-24. I think, you know, the scoreboard obviously was going to look pretty big for Miami, but I think that's going to be what they need, but I think it'll be a lot more sloppy of a game than that.
And then Ohio State coming off a really big matchup against TCU. They're going to get a little break against Tulane, obviously next week going to have to play in Happy Valley. I got Ohio State winning by a big margin, 81-17. I think Dwayne Haskins is going to put no mercy on this defense.
I've also got Ohio State winning in a big fashion. I've got 70-28, so definitely the Buckeyes. They're going to give up a few points, I would say, but that offense is really clicking right now.
And then we got BYU versus McNeese State. Never really heard of them, honestly, so I just put BYU winning 21-7. Maybe McNeese State's come up with a surprising touchdown.
Well, BYU number 25, I would say, ranked a little bit prematurely. I know they upset Wisconsin, but they really have not played anyone else. I've got them up winning 34-21 just because I think they're a good team for their conference, but I don't think they're that good.
Then we have the battle of the Louisianas, LSU versus LA Tech. I got LSU winning 42-14.
I've got the Tigers winning 38-0. I just, with that defense they have, if they try, because you know it's going to be a blowout, I don't think they'll allow a point. I've got 38-0 LSU.
Then we have a SEC matchup. We got number 14, Mississippi State at Kentucky. And I'm going to pick an upset right here. I think Kentucky wins convincingly 24-6 at home. They've been doing pretty well. They're 3-0 on the season. So I think they're going to continue that mojo and upset MS State. John,
what do you got? Definitely interesting. You know, Joe Moorhead, first-year coach at Mississippi State, former offensive coordinator at Penn State, where he averaged more than 40 points per game in both of his two seasons. So definitely a guy that's capable of putting some points on the board. And I've got Mississippi State winning 35-24. But like you said, the reason I have it so close is because Kentucky's looking pretty good.
Now we have Michigan State at Indiana. This is going to be John's upset game. So, John, why do you think that the Hoosiers are going to overclaim the throne on the Spartans?
Well, Indiana, you know, the past couple of years, they've competed in a lot of games. We saw 2 years ago when Penn State got really hot, that, you know, team that went to the Rose Bowl and lost to USC. They came all the way back, kept it close until the end, until a fumble returned for a touchdown by the Nittany Lions helped them pull away. So Indiana is a team that can definitely perform at home, and Michigan State is a team they're going to want to play their best against, and I think they will. And if they do that, that should be enough to beat the Spartans.
And then our final game before we get to the game of the week is going to be number 18, Wisconsin at Iowa. So, John, what do you got in this one?
Like I said earlier in my upset special, I pick Iowa to win this one 20-17. I think the Hawkeyes are an extremely special team, and I would look for them to perform well.
I also got Iowa winning this one in a close one, 21-18. So obviously plus one on your score prediction. But I think, you know, obviously, as you said, playing at Iowa is going to be really difficult for these Badgers. And I honestly think that these Hawkeyes are going to bring out the win. So now we're going to move on to one of our final segments, which is going to be our game of the week, which is Oregon versus Stanford. So, John, I'm going to bring you on to talk about Stanford. What do you think that the Cardinals need to do in this game?
Well, you know, the Cardinals, they're an interesting team, you know, just from the point that they're not scoring much this year rather than they are playing defense. But some notable information for them coming into this game is that Bryce Love is going to be back for the Cardinal, which is absolutely huge for their offense to try and regain some of that momentum. Also, they lead the series against Oregon all time 48-32. So definitely able to play their best against a rival in the Pac-12. And last year they beat Oregon 49-7. So no doubt about it, they flat out dominated them. And right now, with their resumes looking, they already beat USC 17-3, who was ranked at the time of the matchup. And later on this year, they play Washington. So they definitely want to win this game to hold on to that potential one loss for later.
And then for the Oregon Ducks, Mario Cristobal is going to be in first year as his head coach. And they're going to have to play Washington next week. So right after, say they do beat Stanford, they're going to have another competition against Washington. Fortunately for them, all their competitions against ranked opponents, as of now, they're at home. So right now, if they can really take advantage of that home field advantage, I think they have no problem beating these teams. And, you know, they're going to be led by QB star Justin Herbert. And He scored 62 points last week, and it's going to be their fourth home game in a row. So, John, I'll bring you back on for Stanford. Why do you think that these Cardinals can, I guess, potentially stop the upset from happening?
Well, I think overall, whatever way you look at it, Stanford is the better overall team. You know, just overall looking at them, Stanford is more consistent, I would say, in both areas. They've been more consistent over the past couple of years. And right now, their defense hasn't allowed more than 10 points per game in this year. So if you're a believer in defense wins championships, then they've got a lot going on for them Saturday night.
And if you're a believer in that, I honestly would pick the Cardinal every single time because Oregon's defense doesn't look too good. They do have home field advantage, though, and their offense can put up points fast. So if they get it going early and have the ability to dominate the game so far like they've been doing in the season, I think they could potentially pull up the upset. And now we're going to have three keys for the game. And for Oregon, I think that their offense, they just need to put points up fast. When they're going to succeed, their offense is going to take over games. And Stanford, as you said, has one of the top 10 defenses in the whole nation. So I think that's going to be one of their keys. And their defense needs to step up. Their defense has been very subpar throughout the whole season this year. And honestly, I just don't think that they can do it. And I have Stanford win this game. But, John, what's your three keys to the game for Stanford?
Well, right now for Stanford, I think early on they have to establish the run game. They're getting Bryce Love back, a former Heisman team candidate, so he can definitely help spark this offense. But early on, he's going to have to show them he's there, and they're going to have to be able to run the ball consistently on first and tens, on third and threes. So that's going to be a key factor. But on the defensive side of the ball for Stanford, they're going to have to get pressure on Justin Herbert. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, and if they're going to leave him time in the pocket, he's going to strike, and he's going to throw absolute gems downfield. So if they're going to give him time, it'll be a long night for their secondary. And finally, their offense has to control the tempo. And I think if they can keep that Oregon-loaded offense over on the sideline for a lot longer, get them, you know, to cool off a little bit more and get the crowd out of the game, it's going to be really key for them in terms of getting the win.
And now we have a few bold predictions to end off the show. So, John, what are going to be your first bold prediction?
My first prediction for this game is that Justin Herbert, the quarterback for the Ducks, throws four touchdowns. I think he's a guy that can definitely torch a defense if they don't pressure him. And with the talent he's got at wide receiver, I really believe that he's going to go out and play his best.
And my first hot take is going to be, you know, Heisman candidate Bryce Love is going to rush for over 200 yards, and primarily because this Oregon defense isn't very strong. And I think that's going to be one of the keys for the game for Stanford is if they can establish that run game early, as John was saying, they're going to have a lot of success against this Oregon defense. So, John, what do you got for that second bold prediction?
I've got that KJ Costello throws three interceptions at the Stanford QB. I know he's a guy that hasn't played well at all last week against UC Davis. Threw two touchdowns, but with two interceptions. So definitely a guy that's not looking very good so far as quarterback, and I think Oregon's defense is going to be out there, you know, running around. They're really quick. You know, you see the flashing colors, and that's what you think of when you hear Oregon football. So definitely expect to see their defense try and strive, and if KJ Costello doesn't step up, I can see three interceptions in his forecast.
My final bold prediction is going to be that Stanford is going to allow less than 17 points. I feel like the Cardinal has been, they've been really well on defense and they've only given up. And that's been against San Diego State, who's, you know, they've been pretty well. They played USC, only gave up three, and then UC Davis, they let up 10. So I think if they can contain this Oregon Duck offense, I think they'll have no problem winning this game. And John, what's your final bold prediction for the show?
Well, my final bold prediction isn't going to go to either team. It's simply that I think the game will end with an interception on whatever team for whatever team has the ball last in the game, meaning if Oregon has it last, I think Stanford will get that game-winning pick or vice versa. So definitely it's going to come down to the wire, I believe, and I think that'd be the perfect way to end it.
And, you know, those five bold predictions are going to be really key. And honestly, John, I'd be surprised if all five happen. I'm going to say that. But I wouldn't be too surprised if maybe two or three happen. But my score prediction for the Stanford-Oregon game, I'm going to have taken Stanford. I think they're going to win 24-16. And, John, what do you got ending off the show?
Well, Tyler, you know, I talked about it a lot. And you heard my bold predictions. They were pretty pro-Oregon. So, you know, I'm definitely going to be rooting for them in this game. And I think overall, I know they're not the better team, but they have that kind of play style that can really – catch a team like Stanford off guard with their offense. So if they can get out and put up points early, which I think they will, I have Oregon winning this one 38-34.
And that is going to do it for John and I here on the first edition of our new college football show. Thank you for tuning in, and make sure to come back next Wednesday as we will be breaking down all the past week's action, as well as a preview for the upcoming week containing Notre Dame versus Stanford and Penn State versus Ohio State. And we're going to have, I guess, quote unquote, Notre Dame, quote unquote, again, expert Thomas Abington is going to be joining the show in a variety of ways. And also Ricky Weeps is going to be making an appearance. So you really don't want to miss out on that. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week, and go Prep.
Hi, I'm history teacher Bill Connors, and you're listening to WSJP.